good evening.
Hi, this is
Lisa.
Good evening.
If I catch the voice, said this is somebody. Somebody in the car sounded like.
I heard it too. This is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Looks like I've got Carol, and I've got Liz and Lisa. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Wonderful. Good to have you guys here. Let's see. All right. We got some more people going to show up here very shortly. So we have a lots of stuff to cover tonight, and then we have one more session after this. So while we're here waiting for this to show up, any burning questions you guys have that you'd like to ask about DISC or the model or the class or anything like that?
This is Lisa. I'm guessing you'll cover this in today or the next class, but in terms of the certification exam, what to expect and how to prep for that, that would be great.
Yes, it's pretty prep for it. Just memorize every word I've ever said in this class, and you'll have no problem whatsoever. No, actually, we'll discuss that tonight because how that's going to work. So, yeah, that is part of the process here. Hi, who just joined us?
I'm Sadu.
Hey, Sadu, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing very good.
Good.
And Malena is also on.
Hi, Malena. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
And who just joined us?
Ellen just joined.
Hello, Ellen. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dave?
Doing great.
Good.
So, I need for one more person, but and there's Chris, I assume?
Yep. Sorry, Dave. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
Great.
Great. So as we get started, I had a couple things I want to cover with you guys in terms of logistics and things like that. So the first thing is I'm about to go on some travel here for 4 or 5 days, where I'm going to be a little hard to get hold of. So in preparation for that, I posted out there about half an hour ago the slides for week 6 on the Dropbox page, along with 3 other reports that are available through Everything Disk. There's an Everything Disk sales report, Everything Disk measurement report, Everything Disk work of leaders report. And so they all have a slightly different focus in terms of feedback they provide to your client. What I can tell you about them for now is that if I always start with the workplace report, as we did here in class. If you use this as clients, though, and you have to do the workplace report, and they say, this is really good, but I want to get a different focus. I want to get focused on some of these management items. You can actually just have their responses ported from the workplace report, the management report, with no additional input from them whatsoever. So after we take the assessment, you just port the answers to the workplace report, to the work of leaders report, the mentor report, or the sales report. Now, you still have to pay for the report, but there's not a second assessment. So those of you guys who review at your leisure between now and next week, they're out there for you now, so you can have a chance to look at them and say, I'm going to be gone for a while. I didn't want you guys to miss out on those things. Also out there is kind of a special treat for you is an MP3 file. Actually, treat may be the wrong word. It may be painful. I don't know. It's called the 4 Nights, K-N-I-G-H-T-S, Nights. If you're a Monty Python fan, that's the 4 Knigets. It's a story that I put together with some help from a story I read someplace else. It's a disc-based story. And it's designed as a presentation, if you will, speak in front of a group. So having it there for you guys is an MP3 file, so it's my speech. But you guys can take that same story and take what I've done, if you'd like to, and just modify it for your own use. So if you want to use DISC in public and start doing some public speaking around DISC, you can take that story and use it as you see fit, I used it for a 30-minute workshop or presentation for speaking in front of groups, and it worked out really good. So that's there for you as well. It's a pretty big size file, which is why we're really glad it's on Dropbox. Also, I've been asked by a few people already about how to get reports for some of their clients. We'll cover that in some detail next week. But a quick overview of how that's done right now is quite simply, you're going to use just an occasional report, but you want to use for somebody. The first thing to do is just to call me and say, hey, Dave, I need a report for Bob Smith. I'll send you an invoice. You send me the invoice through through PayPal. You pay the invoice. I send the access code out. Report comes back. I send it to you. You're going to use just an occasional report. That's the best way to do it. I think you're going to be doing more than that. You're going to use probably 8-10 reports a year or more. I suggest with something called a sub-account, which allows you to log on whenever you want to the basic disk system and request a report, request an access code. The nice thing about that is that the report comes out, instead of having my name on there, it now has your name on there and your logo and contact information. So if you're going to use 8-10 or so a year, that's a way to do that. You also buy a little cheaper in retail, but we'll explain that in more detail next week. The other option is, of course, to become a partner like I am. That's a pretty substantial investment. Again, I'll cover it next week, but those are the three basic options. But I uploaded for you guys also that Dropbox account something called the Epic Sub-Account Description. And that's if you want to have your name and your logo on the account. Like I mentioned, there's option two. That explains how all that works. Again, we'll go through it in more detail next week. But it's out there for you now because I'm going to be out of the office today. I want to make sure you guys all have those things before next week's class. So that was a big data dump. Any questions about that before I go on? Either you're stunned into silence or it was very clear which one it was, but okay. All right, certification exam. So that comes out after class next week. It will be emailed to you, not downloaded from the Dropbox. It will be emailed to you. And you have a week to complete it. If you guys are CTA grads, you know you had two chances to pass the CTA exam. You only have one chance at this. So just be careful with it. But everything on the exam has been covered in class. It's covered in your reading. And, of course, it's open note, open book. So you just complete the exam through email, return it to me, and, again, my email address will be on there when I send it to you. But for the record, you're going to use dave@coachdavemeyer.com. That's my primary email address. So what kind of things are on the exam? A lot of them are multiple choice. Choose all that apply. I will tell you some things that say check all that apply. You'll see some stuff there that says for a D, for an I, for an S, for a C. I'll just tell you one kind of clue, if you will. When it says check all that apply, they're not all the same number of responses. So a D may have, I'm making this up, three items that apply to it. You go to the I, it might have five. The S might have two. The C might have one. So they're not even. So don't try and even them out. Say, it must be three on each one. No, they're different. So read the questions. It's pretty self-explanatory. So that comes out next week, and you have 1 week to complete that. So questions about the exam?
How long is it?
I think it's 25 questions.
Okay, and what does passing grade entail?
Eight incorrect answers, and you still pass.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, some questions have multiple answers on them, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, what's your question? No? If by some chance you don't pass the exam, you can wait 90 days and take it again, but there is a $100 fee to take it again. But I've only had one person not pass the exam. So that's not to jinx you guys, but...
No pressure.
But it's all, this information is all there for you. It's in your notes. It's in the workbook. So it's not designed to trick you. It's designed to make sure you understand the concepts.
Good.
Okay? Other questions before we go into this week's discussion?
Just quickly, this is Lisa. So once we all pass, we get we'll get notified or something by you or email or something like that. And then do we what happens after that? Do we just say we're certified in DISC? Is there some other agreement or arrangement we have to sign? I'm just curious on how we indicate that to our credentials.
Yeah, so you're going to get a certificate in the mail that or email that gives you the certification. You can then add that information to your signature page, web page, things like that. Unless you become a partner with Wiley or one of the other companies that does DISC, you can't use their logos on your web page. You can use generic DISC logos. Let me explain what that means. You guys have all probably noticed that when we talk about DISC in this class and on your workbooks, there's a lowercase I. You guys all notice that?
Yes.
Of course you did, yeah. You didn't, don't tell me. So the story is, and I can't vouch this is true, is what I was told by Wiley. When they first created the assessment back in 1972, they took it in for the copyright information. From 1972, they used typewriters, not computers. They typed that all up. They went into the office, and they had misspelled DISC by not capitalizing the I. Well, the two guys who created DISC were a couple of high Ds. They said, we don't care. That's close enough. We'll make it a marketing thing. Just leave it the way it is. So that lowercase I is actually a trademark of Wiley Publishing now. So unless you become a partner and pay their partnership fees and take the partnership training and do all the other partnership things you have to do, you can't put things of lowercase I on your website. You can use the generic stuff you find on the Internet where the I is an uppercase because that's not copyrighted. But the lowercase I stuff is copyrighted. So that's that part of it. And then say you have that, you can put it on your card that you're DISC certified. You can use, say you put on a website you're DISC certified, again, use the uppercase I. And then if you need reports, it's either a matter of you can use them occasionally, you call me, you want to use more than that, a sub-account, or if you really want to jump in with both feet, a partner. Partnership is expensive, but it has benefits. I generally tell people that if they're really excited about DISC, do a sub-account first and make sure that's working out for you. And then if you go, wow, I'm doing a lot of this, and I really like it, and then I want more, it's worthwhile for you to go ahead and become a partner. But pay the partner fees up front, get the partnership training up front, and then find out that you don't use it that much, that's a painful lesson. So I don't usually recommend that as the first option. Okay?
Great. Wonderful. And how much is, how much are the individual tests if we do that outreach to you to run it for a client?
If you just want a report for a client, it's the Ed Workplace Report. It is $60 for the report.
Great. Thank you.
And how much is it for the sub-account?
That's all in the handout. That's just sent out to you guys. But it's $185 for the account itself.
Okay. Yeah, we don't need to go into it if it's there.
It's all there. But just there's an upfront fee for it. Then you buy reports at a lesser price. So after, I think it's after 18 reports, it's paid for itself. And you're paying.
Okay.
So there's an annual renewal fee of like $20 just to make sure you're still using it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal.
Cool.
Anyway, it's in the thing. We'll talk about it more next week, but it's really fairly easy. It sounds complex to describe it, but it really is fairly simple.
Perfect.
Okay?
But,
all right. Other questions before I get into the lesson for tonight? All right. Well, let's do our quick quiz. So, what kind of profile would say, I want to go where everybody knows my name?
Hi, I.
I would say S, perhaps.
We have one vote for the I, one vote for the S. Anybody else want to risk a vote here?
I'd say probably the I.
So this is a little tricky. This is where it gets a little more tricky as you get all profiles out there. Actually, it's more of an S than an I, because an I would say, they don't know my name, doesn't matter. They will in 5 minutes. But an S wants to comfort everyone there already knows their name. They're going to a comfortable surrounding. And that's more of an S than it is an I. So here's an easy one. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
C. I see.
D.
Say C.
That's your high C, exactly. C's want facts, only facts. They don't care for anything else. Who knows where that quote came from, by the way? Anybody know where that quote came from?
Dragnet.
Dragnet. Dragnet. Right. All right. Who would likely say, ready, fire, aim?
D.
And unit, ready, D. Yeah, that's an easy one. There is no crime in being poor, only in dressing poorly.
I.
Yeah, that's the high I. More concerned with how they look than what they really are. So, yeah, that's the high I. Who would likely say that's close enough for government work?
D.
I thought S.
Yeah, S.
Pondering, huh? A little more complicated these days. That's actually a D. So a D's going to want the results, but does that be exactly right? No, not really. Just get close enough, and then we'll move on from there. Family isn't about whose blood you have. It's about who you care about.
Yes.
That was an easy one, wasn't it? That was the S, exactly. If you want something done right, you have to do it yourself.
C.
That's the C. Yeah, the C wants it exactly right. Or if they want it right, they're going to do it themselves. Again, the D wants just close enough, get it done, we'll move on. The C wants it exactly right. If I want it exactly right, I may have to do it myself. Did you hear about people being micromanagers? That's often a case of the high C that they need to be able to put aside and put away. Here's an easy one. I'm so excited.
Hi.
That was an easy one. All right. Now, if I make it really hard, I would have these things be combinations. That would have been really challenging. Yes. All right. So let's talk about a brief review of session 4. We talked about the dot. You and your dot. So where it falls, the circumflex model is important, where it is around, but also how strong the dot is. And that's we're not referring to the blackness, if you will, or the size of the dot, referring to where it falls. Is it near the center of the entire circle or closer to the outer edge? The closer to the outer edge it is, the stronger the likelihood of those propensities showing up in that individual. So you might have two people who both have the, say, SI behavioral style, but one of them's very strong, so that dot's out there near the edge of the circle, and one's much closer to the center, and the one farther out's going to have those propensities much more strongly than the one in the center. So it's not just the style type, it's how strong that style type is that really is going to define how that person behaves. And likewise, the closer to the center that dot is, going to show phase out into other types of styles as well. We'll cover some of that here tonight with you guys.
So, quick question.
Yes.
So now, if it's very strong, if it's closer to the edge and it's very strong, does that mean that they have a propensity to show these styles more often?
Yeah, it'll show more often, yes, and they'll have it'll actually be a stronger emotion with them in most cases, a stronger desire. So I use the word emotion here because emotion is really involved in all the styles. So a high D, for example, or sometimes viewed as lower in emotion, an emotion that its primary show is anger, out near the edge of that dot, they might get angry easily. They might get angry loudly. If that D is still their primary, but it's closer to the middle of the entire circle, they still might get angry. They're going to be less demonstrative about that anger and show it less.
Okay.
That make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We also started our discussion about different styles and how styles are similar but different if they are reversed. For example, if I'm a primary D with a secondary I, that really is one style. But if I'm a primary I with a secondary D, it is similar but different. So that primary and secondary style, the order is important. And that's something that's hard to tell with just personal observation. It really requires usually the assessment to do that effectively. So you can usually tell D, I, S, and C is a primary style pretty quickly, but a secondary style, much harder to pick up on, and also know which one's coming out at what time. All right. We discussed about moving from the idea of the four basic DISC styles, simply D, I, S, and C, into the more complex 12 everything DISC styles. And again, to separate you from a lot of other people out there using DISC and your competitors, because they focus a lot on D, I, S, and C, we go well beyond that to those secondary styles and the strength of those styles. So the reporting you're getting here is by far the best you're going to find around DISC. If you only understand the D, I, S, C, that's what you focus on all the time, just that basics, you're doing a disservice to your client. You may even cause harm in the organization or with the client if you treat a primary style as a secondary style or vice versa. So that's why the combinations are really very, very important. And then we discussed the D and the I style combinations. We focused on goals over uses, under pressure, and how to increase effectiveness. And that was kind of eye-opening, wasn't it? How you go from similar styles but have very different sets of goals, very different sets of ways of behavior. So we're going to do more of that tonight in a few minutes after we go through a few other things here first. So questions about that review of last week's session? Okay. And don't forget, you can download those audios and keep them and play them back whenever you need them, you know, a month from now or 2 months from now. Download and keep the audios yourself so you have them for future use. All right, so let's move on. Let's go and talk about shading. Now, if you look at the shading on your report, look at page 5 of your report. And let's talk about the shading that shows up on page 5. okay, shading can actually show up more than one way. So when you take the basic profile, well, let me take a step back. The shading is designed to help you add some depth to your knowledge, because the model is shown now as a circle. It's a circumplex model, they call it. And one of the possible challenges with a circumplex model is that while it does show you very clearly how styles tend to blend together to the one next to them, there are times, not often, but there are times when you may find someone with a propensity for a style that is opposite of their normal style. So you might find a high I who has a lot of C behavioral characteristics, well, they're not side by side. Or you might find a D who has a lot of S characteristics, or vice versa. And again, they're not really side by side. So the shading can do a couple things here for you. First of all, it just normal behaviors where all some portion of D, I, S, and C. And that's the first thing it shows you. So if you look at your own report, you likely see some shading into all four of the quadrants. Heavy in your primary quadrants, a little less in the other quadrants. So you guys all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's pretty standard. It gives context and depth to the profile by showing you that even though you may be a high S, the secondary C, you can still have some I characteristics. You can also have some D characteristics, and it shows you that in this report. So, but there's something else here that happens that's even more important. And I mentioned the fact that sometimes you have people who have contradictions in their style. So when that happens, what you're going to see on page 5 is a different kind of shading. Most of the shading you're seeing on page 5 is all flush color. You know, the D is a green, the red is, the I is a red, S is blue, and the C is yellow. But if there's something different going on there with this individual, you'll see some shading that looks like lined shading. Anybody have some lined shading on their profile?
No.
No.
So it's fairly unusual, and I should have put a copy on. I didn't.
No. No, I don't.
I have to add a copy of that to report you guys can see. That's what I should have done. Yeah. I'm going to put a copy out there for you on the Dropbox page so you can see it. So there are some cases where you're going to see, you'll see a dot, which will see lined areas in different areas. So again, you might have a high I who's got a very strong secondary C. And since those are side by side, what you'll see is you'll see a lined yellow in the C area. And that lined shading is telling you this is something unusual in the pattern. Doesn't mean it's bad. Doesn't mean it's wrong. But it means it's something that's important to understand. Huh. So maybe you had someone who is a natural high I, but they grew up with a father who was an engineer or mother who was an accountant. And they learned very early in life the importance of detail. And so they become a high I with a very strong secondary C. And you'll see some shading in that area to tell you that's different that way.
And, Dave, that shading will show up, like you said, with those lines on it.
Yep. So as opposed to the solid shading you have right now on your charts, these are line shadings. They actually show on pages 5 and 6 of the report. And I'm going to post a copy of it for you guys. I should have put it in the presentation. I don't know why I didn't do that. That would have made way too much sense.
They have an example. There's an example in the DISC Coaching Catalyst on page 32, diagram 11, but it has a couple shadings, so it looks kind of complex.
It can be very complex because it can go into different areas. Yeah, so page 32 of the thing. Okay, that's good. So that gives you an idea what that looks like when it happens. To say it's not normal. I should say it's not commonplace. I shouldn't say that wrong. It's not commonplace. But when it happens, it's not a red flag. It's not a bad thing. It's simply telling you this person has some very strong characteristics that are different than what you should expect. And it's especially true. I'll tell you from the I and C combination is one that I have seen a number of times over the years. I don't see many between the D and the S. But I do seem to see a lot of the I and the C. And it's important that people understand that this is not, it's a different pattern, but it's not a bad pattern. And it should be considered not only normal, but it's a standard thing that happens. Because sometimes these people who have this I with a C, in life, they feel out of place. Because they're having a lucky attitude of the high I, and attention to detail are contradictory. And people sometimes get confused who are around them, and that reflects back to them, and they feel like they're, quote, weird. I've heard that phrase used a number of times. I thought I was weird. No, you're not weird. I was secondary. It's a really good thing, because now you're outgoing. You've got a really strong strength for attention to detail, and that can really play well for you. So that's
so
what
Dave,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say on this diagram that we're looking at, on the diagram 11 that's on page 32, it does show the shading of the I, and then it does show some darker shading going into the C, and then from the C it extends out with the lines. Does that mean that they have natural tendencies of C and then some other deeper, like to your point, they grew up in a very maybe organized or, like you said, a father's an engineer, architect, and it kind of extends out from there?
Right. So these are likely things that they learned at a very young age, the importance of
okay.
being tolerated. So they have this S behavioral style. It's actually an SI on that page on 32.
Mm-hmm.
But they learned pretty early the importance of being detailed. And so the lines are telling you that. And you see how strong it is. It's pretty deep into the C area.
So why does it still have some of the darker shading into the C?
That's the kind of normal thing that came with the normal responses. That's kind of the flow of the pattern, if you will.
Gotcha.
You could easily show the whole thing that was being lined, and it would be the same thing.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
It's funny that you said that because you described one of my employees to a T because we took this exact exam last October, and I have a copy of his, and I resurrected it now that I understand what it means. and he is an I, and he has a lot of shading in his C. And my boss, when we talk about him, my boss always says, he's so awkward, I can't get a read on him. He just doesn't come across as knowing one thing or the other. And he's really a sharp guy, but he's an I with all those C tendencies.
Yeah.
He feels
out of place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He just can't find his grounding. He wants to go one way, but then he's trying to follow other people that seem to be more C-oriented, but he doesn't like the structure and the way that they work, and that's not him. So he tries to go back to just being himself, and yet, so he really is. He's a lost child, poor guy. So,
yeah.
But it's very interesting that you just, you know, now I can talk to him about saying, let me tell you, don't feel this way because.
Yeah, this is actually a very good thing because it allows him to have that outgoing personality and the warmth of a high S, you know, in some cases, but still have attention to detail. So it's a very positive thing, actually, but it feels awkward.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, good. So you can see how important this process is here, and these lines are really important. So you might have the I with a C, might have a high D. This happens in my particular case. I was raised with very strong family values from my parents. So I have a lot of S. I'm a D and a C, and I got this S shading as well, and it comes in because my family taught me very early the importance of family values. Okay? So you have the style index. You have the 12 styles, and those are important. You can't cover everything that's going to happen. It's just too much. So that shading shows you that. And what's really important here is that when you look at the actual profile and you begin to read the commentary for these people who have the shading is adjusted for that shading. So they don't give you just the standard verbiage, if you will, to adjust it for the fact that they've got that tertiary style, if you will. Okay. Now, here's a little thing that's interesting about this particular style. One on page 32, I chose it for a particular reason. And the reason is that with that I and the S and that C being so strong, they're outgoing. They have the values of the S as well, for the value of that stability, but they give that attention to detail. And oftentimes, especially because of the high propensity to be outgoing, attention to detail, they're confused with a D. The average person confuses them with a D. If they're trying to just do it based on sight, if you will, what they think the person is, they'll say, must be a D. Look how they're getting things done. They're very aggressive and outgoing. That's got to be a D. You treat them like a D, and you're missing their need for acceptance. You're missing their need for popularity. You're missing their need for stability, and you really kind of annoy them. Okay? So that one on 32 is there for a particular reason that way. All right. I say that makes all the profiles unique, but the verbiage in your profile, if you've got that shading, is adjusted for the shading. So these things are all going to be very different that way. And this is something that Ed Workplace gives to you that no other disk profile in the market right now can do. All right. Questions about the shading? All right. Now let's talk about some style combinations between the with the S and their style combination. So if you look in the back again of your Ed Workplace document, you'll find on page 19 that you have the various styles laid out for you, the various S style laid out for you. We got some background noise going on. If you're in a noisy area, if you could just hit mute *6, that would be really helpful. And again, the *6 also unmutes you. All right, so let's compare the standard S with the SC, which is a fairly common style. So while the high S values harmony and stability as one of their goals, the SC wants calm environment, but they want fixed objectives, and they want steady progress. So again, similar to the S, but you can see the influence of the C sneaking into it. Under pressure, the S tends to give in because they want to avoid revealing the true opinions. They want to avoid the conflict. The SC, though, becomes inflexible, transient. They hinder spontaneity. And they finally will comply. So you're going to get a lot of SC behavior here that is what's the right word here? I don't want to say antisocial, if you will, but difficult. Whereas the S is much more compliant. That C is eventually going to give in, but first they're going to fight you with their inflexibility. They may also get some sarcasm out of them, in which case, then make them stand in the corner. So that's, again, a change. Now, the fear of the S, letting people down, or again, rapid change, they don't like the change. The SC, it's much stronger. Time pressure, because they had anxiety to do things exactly right. They don't like uncertainty, and they feel and can create chaos. So when they get afraid, they actually create the chaos that they really would like to avoid. So how the S increase their effectiveness? Through self-confidence and showing their emotions. Pretty standard stuff. We talked about the S. If it's the SC, they can become more effective because they can initiate change. Because their C is going to notice some things that need to be changed and speak up about those things. C will find those patterns of things that are wrong. If they speak up about those things, they can be more effective. Let's compare the SI to the SC. So the goal of the SI is acceptance and close relationships. But with the SC, again, calm environment, fixed objectives, steady progress, relationships, oh, yeah, that's missing there, isn't it? So the SC is much less worried about relationships than the SI is. Under pressure, the SI is going to try and avoid conflicts to make everybody happy. Again, that tendency to high I, you know, circle it over there, you can see it. They want to make people happy. They don't want conflict. Under pressure, the SC, inflexible, inner spontaneity, and then again, finally complies. So both have a primary S, but that secondary I versus the secondary C, a big difference in how they're going to behave. The fear of the SI, being forced to pressure others and face aggression. And again, that SI has got that influence of the high I's need for popularity. With the SC, they fear time pressure, uncertainty, and chaos. How do you increase the effectiveness of a high of an SI? Teach them to say no when necessary. They're going to want to comply. They're going to want to blend in. They're going to make people happy. Teach the SI that it's okay to say no. Help them uncover issues, bring them to the surface, and address them. For the SC, I make them more effective. Again, they'll see the change that's necessary. You'll speak up about it. They tend to lack confidence. They tend not to want to speak up. Again, the C has a tendency to believe they're right. The S is going to hold them back from speaking up. Going to help them speak up, help initiate change, and they'll be more effective in the workplace. What do you think of that SISC difference, especially? Fairly dramatic, isn't it?
Very much so, and when you really start looking at how people, I just keep taking back to the workplace because I've always been a real strong proponent of DISC, and I always try to use it to help me with my employees, but now that I'm just seeing the nuances from an SI to an SC, it's just eye-opening.
Yeah. You really see that. Yeah, you see why over the years I made a lot of money doing this to people who only focused on DIS and C.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's like I feel like, oh my, I feel sorry for the way I treat some people because when really they're more an SI, I'm just thinking they're S, so I'm just treating them all like an S.
you know? And that's not right at all.
What's funny is that, you know, some companies who begin to use DISC, so this happened with one of my clients, you know, the CEO had used DISC earlier in his career with somebody who was really very good at it, and he used it and he learned it and he became effective with it and he, you know, he reveled in it. He became CEO of this company and brought someone in to do DISC, and they focused on DIS and C, and it was a year later he called me and said, hey, Dave, we're all screwed up, but DISC is supposed to help us, and it helped me before. Come down here. And what I came down and found was that it was down in Texas, and I went down there, and yeah, they learned DIS. That's all they learned, and they had this particular company. There were a couple that happened to more than one company. One company I went to, they actually had gone out and invested in stuffed animals to demonstrate your style. So they had a lion for the D. They had a lamb for the S. They had a cat for the C. I can't remember what the I was. Probably a hyena, something like that. It was something goofy. But they said, so this is my style, so this is how you could treat me. They only focus on the one style, and everybody was annoyed, and nobody was effective. So this is going to set you apart from everybody else. You get, you understand this whole style concept and what it really means. Just compare real quickly the S to the SI or the SC. The S to the SI, again, S is harmony and stability as a goal. SI is that relationship again, and acceptance. Under pressure, the S gives in, avoids true opinions. The SI avoids the conflict. They don't make everybody happy. The fear of the S, letting people down in rapid change. Fear of the SI, being forced to pressure others and facing aggression. Increase effectiveness of an S, helping them to find their self-confidence, reveal their true feelings. For the SI, or in saying no. As I go through things, you guys all see where this is coming from, right, on the workplace document?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's all there as part of page 19. Yeah. Yeah, each individual page. Yeah, because, I mean, it's important to know where to find these things. All right. Let's move on and talk about the C combination. So we're going to compare the C to the CS and then to the CD. Talk about, again, goals under pressure, fears, and how to increase effectiveness. Fears are important here because with the S's and C's especially, that fear is going to drive a lot of what they do. So the goal of a C, discussed that before, accuracy. They want objective processes. They want things done by the numbers. They want things done as part of the routine. If it's a CS, they want stability. You heavily see the S as part of that, and also a reliable outcome. So those two, the C and the CS, have a lot in common this way. And it's sometimes easy to miss the subtleties if you only understand the one part of their behavioral style. Under pressure, the C becomes overly logical, okay? You put a C under pressure, and they're going to give you the numbers. They're going to recite things back to you. They're going to give you all the logic, and they're going to try and force everything to fit that logical box. Under pressure, the CS, though, doesn't do that. Instead, they're going to have that S is going to come out. It's going to make them more withdrawn. They're going to become more hesitant. They're going to try and, if you will, accept, if you will, and not face it, not face the pressure. The fear of the C, again, always about being wrong. They don't like being wrong. They also don't like strong displays of emotion. Not, and it doesn't, you know, emotions don't help them as far as they're concerned. And it's similar here with the CES. They're, they fear emotionally charged situations. So again, they fear the display of emotion. They don't like ambiguity. They want to know, what do you want me to do, and when do you want me to do it? And they'll turn oftentimes to their bosses, the D's or the I's, to get that kind of direction. That's, I would tell you, the CS behavioral style is one of the ones that seems to me that they need the most direction from their bosses, because they fear the ambiguity. If they aren't clear, they don't want to move at all. They want you to make things clear for them. How do you make a C more effective? It sounds like part of a joke, actually. Acknowledging others' feelings, because they tend to not look at feelings. Look beyond the data itself, because they're data-driven. If it's a CS, they need to demonstrate more flexibility, not become so rigid. And they need to become more decisive. They have what they need, but they fear that ambiguity, and so they can be more effective by becoming more decisive and being willing to make decisions, or at least know why they can't decide so they can plug that hole. Also showing urgency. Because, again, that CS, they look like they're going to get stuck there forever. All right. What about comparing the C to the CD, which is an interesting combination? The C, accuracy, objective processes is their goal. But for the CD, efficient results, rational decision. Now, you know, the C is a slow decision maker and always wants more facts. The CD, that D influence, wants to make a decision, but it wants it to be rational and logical. Under pressure, again, overwhelms people with logic, becomes rigid. When you've got a CD combination, they ignore people's feelings and, oops, move ahead independently. So while the C, again, is holding things back, that D influence there is driving them forward, and that can create some real hard feelings if they haven't got people on board with them. Because don't forget, in that CD combination, they're missing the entire people side of the equation. Again, the C fears being wrong, strong displays of emotion. The CD has a fear of failure. And, this is important, lack of control. Again, that D influence there, because the D thinks they're going to control everything. They expect to control everything because they're in charge. And that CD has a fear of losing control that way. Again, how do you increase the effectiveness of a C? Acknowledging others' feelings, looking beyond the data. But when it's a CD, let's try some cooperation with the others around us. And what are their needs? That whole people side of the equation, like I said, is missing. And so when you've got a CD behavioral style, you'd have to think about people around them and how decisions are going to affect them, how even small things are going to affect them, because they don't think in those terms. It doesn't mean they're calloused. It's not what comes to their mind. If you remind them, they'll be good with it. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I guess that really is important, isn't it? At an extreme, they may say, why is it important? You can coach them through that fairly easily. Then they're going to begin to see it, but it's not going to be natural for them. To remind them constantly to think about others' needs. Now, the two extremes here, the CS to the CD. Well, the CS wants stability and reliable outcomes. Well, the CD wants efficient results and rational decisions. So again, you can see the difference there between the CS and the CD, especially when it comes to making decisions. Under pressure, the CS tends to withdraw, becomes hesitant. So it's a CD, push it ahead, ignoring people's feelings, moving ahead independently. Very different, both primary Cs, but very different reaction to pressure, especially. The fear, CS, emotionally charged situations, ambiguity, and the CD, not about emotions, it's about fear of failure and lack of control. You remove the emotions from that when you pull from a CD, from a CS to a CD, you've pulled out the emotional side of it. How to increase effectiveness of the CS, again, showing flexibility, being decisive, showing urgency. For the CD, cooperation, again, that emotion of working with others, and fitting into others' needs. So, you can see here that this concept of the combinations is important, not only the fact that there are combinations, but what that secondary style is, once I know the primary, is really going to make a big difference in how I react to them. As a CS versus a CD, as an IS versus an ID. All right. Questions about those comments before I go on to our kind of our last big discussion here about this?
Gabe, in our coaching catalyst where we have all of the coaching tips and questions to ask under each of the styles, they will all still work according to what we're seeing here with all the blends, correct?
Yeah, you want to look and see what the blend is. It'll help you figure out which of the questions to ask. So when you
see
CD combination, you know, look at the C page. The D page I put together and say, okay, what do I got here? I got a C and a D combined and put them together.
So you could probably take some questions that you would normally ask a D and ask a C and just kind of roll with that to appeal to what we're reading here as to whatever coaching question fits.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and say, you know, that side of the equation, you're talking about focusing on what's the people side of this equation going to look like? For the other side of the equation, you got the SI combinations or the IS combinations. You have to say, what the task looks like? What do you have to get done here? Because that's not where they're going to be focused.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about this Likert scale. Because this is an important change in the way most organizations do DISC, create DISC profiles, and a big change from the way Wiley used to do it as well. So the Likert scale goes from strongly disagree to strongly agree. It's a very common scale in testing because it allows for a lot of easy comparison. It makes the results easier to quantify and therefore to calculate. And that's a big advantage of this kind of a scale. It also allows you to give a neutral response. Yeah, it kind of applies to me, but not really, and you can choose that neutral response. It's also designed to make sure people don't try and overanalyze each response. The way they used to do it was you chose words that were most like you and least like you. And people used to sometimes agonize over that for long periods of time, as in, you know, 20 seconds or so would be a long period of time. Rather than see it and react to it. Here, because you can make it neutral, you tend to respond and move on. And that really is the goal. If someone is trying to overanalyze their responses, they have a chance they're going to end up distorting the responses. So you would encourage people to do this profile in 12 minutes or so or less. Don't let them sit there and try to analyze each question. Now, as many of you may already know, some people are not inclined to choose the two extremes, strongly disagree or strongly agree. Their behavioral style, by definition, doesn't want to make them go to the extreme. They want to stay more toward the neutral center. And this particular session we have here with DISC they've accounted for that. So when they see that propensity to stay away from the center, they have adjusted for it. Adaptive testing allows for that because it sees the inconsistencies in the responses, and then it adjusts for that. So the Likert scale ties into adaptive testing. And adaptive testing here means that the profile itself will adjust itself based on the responses. So there are a standard 78 questions that every DISC assessment asks, but they're not numbered. So you don't know when you got 78 done. So when the 78 are complete, the system is analyzing them for consistency among the styles. And if it sees inconsistencies, it asks more questions. You're not aware of that, but it does. So if you respond very positively to some high C questions and negatively to some other high C questions, that inconsistency is then explored with additional questions. Now, after it's got clarity on what styles, on the styles themselves, so you're not ambiguous on terms of the styles, it then says which of these 12 styles is appropriate for you. Now, remember, it's not the four styles. It's going for all 12. If by some chance it can't find out what that is, it again asks more questions that you're just not aware of because that's going on.
Dave, this is Lisa. I could actually tell when I was taking the test that it was trying to verify, I guess, that I was in a certain camp or where I was landing, because I kept getting repeated questions and actually the same exact question a few times.
Really?
And then it was clearly, yeah, and then it was kind of obvious to me, and then it, because my response to some answers I know didn't fit my primary category. So I actually got the repeat question maybe three times, and I thought, wow, it's really trying to make sure that, you know, and then I would get modified questions that were essentially testing the same thing. But, you know, I had known I was aware that it would be doing that, so it was easy for me to tell.
Okay. Good. So you were kind of aware of the fact that it could happen, so you saw it.
Yeah, and that it was in my response to some parts of those questions were definitely not in my DCAT, I'm a D as well, so they weren't in line with the standard D.
Okay. And that could also lead, in this case it didn't, but it could lead to some shading in different areas if there were strong propensities away from that.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I was surprised I didn't get shading when I got mine back.
Yeah. So, you know, this is something that's new with this adaptive testing, with this new Everything Disk workplace. Under the old system, it would produce results that someone who's really trained well could tell were inconsistent. I mean, I can look at the report and go, there's something wrong going on here. But a lot of people couldn't because they didn't know what to look for exactly. This eliminates that inconsistency. It gives you a much better quality profile right up front. That's what happens when you go beyond the basic 78 questions. And most people are going to be aware of that because you're not numbered and they're just taking it. But if it's not clear, test adapts itself to get clarity. All right. Questions, comments?
I had a question. This is Ellen, but I forgot. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, wow. Oh, here it is. Yes. Okay. I pulled it back up. I find that when I'm taking a test like this, my workplace person might be a little bit different than my social person. Is that normal? Because I have to, like, sort of choose which person I'm taking it with, or is that weird?
Okay, well, I wouldn't say it's weird. I wouldn't say you're abnormal. I wouldn't say you're, like, way out there. No. Most people have the same basic behavioral style at work and at home. It shows itself differently. So you might think it's more different than it really is. I can tell you that I'm a DC.
Right.
And if you ask my employees, they would talk to you about how much compassion I had, how much I cared about them. Well, those that I, you know, those that liked me, those other ones didn't say that, but you know, most of my employees would say that I was nice that way. But they would also, if you sat there and said, well, does he display these skills? You'd see they'd go like, oh yeah, that's definitely him. If you brought me home and talked to my wife and kids, they would also talk about the way we did things, and you would see the same behaviors manifested in different ways. So, for example, with my kids, dinner time was often a combination of laughter and jokes and questions about what they learned in school and what it meant. Same skills turned out, but I was applying them very differently. So
okay.
Most folks are going to be the same style at work at home. There are some that are different, and usually if they're different, unless it's highly intentional, if it's different, it's usually uncomfortable to be different at work and at home.
I agree with that, absolutely. But if a client seems to be struggling with those differences, would it be okay to encourage them to, A, either not worry about it or kind of to choose the one that they're more interested in learning about?
I would be inclined to talk to them about which one is more comfortable for them.
Okay.
And then say, okay, so if you're more comfortable in this behavioral style, but you're different at home, let's talk about why you're different at home or
okay.
different at work. Why are you different there? Because most people, their home is based on their natural style. Their work is where they got to fit in.
Right.
So I was hired to be an okay. engineer, but now I'm a manager.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Really I appreciate it. Yep. Thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you.
All right. Other questions before we sign off for the night? Okay. Again, lots of goodies out there for you on the Dropbox account now. I'll be out of town until late Sunday. But if something you need, drop me an email if I have a chance to respond to myself. If not, I'll certainly respond to you on Monday. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, guys.
Okay. Thank
have
you, Dave.
Thank you. Have a good
Thank
trip.
You.
All righty.
Good night.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.